Today I would like you to turn in your Bible to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter 2. And I'll be speaking to you from verse 21. Galatians chapter 2. And I would encourage all of you to get your Bible this morning and let's read a few verses out of Galatians chapter 2, starting at verse 16, down through verse 21. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ a minister of sin? Paul said, God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. Now listen carefully, verse 19. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, verse 21 is a verse I want to speak from this morning, where Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. The Apostle Paul had faithfully and fully preached the gospel to these people in Galatia. God was pleased to effectually call out and to save a multitude of sinners, a multitude of Gentiles by His sovereign grace. The Apostle Paul now sits in a Roman prison and writes this letter of love and instruction to these believers to warn them against the false preachers who came among them preaching something other than Christ, preaching the works of the law, or preaching a mixture of works and grace instead of faith alone, Christ alone, and grace alone. My friend, we are plagued with the same deadly, toxic doctrine in our day of sinner, save thyself. Do the best you can, and everything will be all right. Or people have said, God's done all He can do, now it's up to you. My friend, why is this false gospel of works, of self-salvation, of legal righteousness, and self-righteousness so popular in our day? Well, let me give you three reasons. The first one is this. Self-righteousness appeals to our sinful flesh. Self-salvation and self-worth is so ingrained in our fallen nature, so entrenched in our wicked heart, so bound up in our corrupt mind that apart from a miracle of sovereign grace revealed in us and Christ revealed to us, this old man will never lay down this old rotten nature of self-righteousness. The religion of fallen wicked men is salvation by works. And we know the Scripture said there is a way that seems right unto men, Proverbs 14:12, but the end of that way is death. And because it is, it becomes the essence of all false religion. Because the natural religion of fallen men is salvation by work, and because it is, it becomes the essence of all false religion. The Word of God declares, woe unto them that have gone the way of Cain. What was that way? Well, you remember in Genesis chapter 4, Cain brought the labor of his hands unto God rather than the blood sacrifice of the Lamb, which typifies grace and Christ. It is the second reason that religion and the false gospel of works is so popular in our day. Because by nature, all men are ignorant of what the law of God actually requires and of what true holiness is. Down in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, we read, for as many are as of the works of the law are under its curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Men are ignorant of what the law of God actually requires. The law doesn't require do the best you can. It requires absolute and eternal holy perfection or death. It requires the best God can do, not the best you can do. James said to offend in one point is to be guilty of all the law. Besides that, my friend, the law was never given to save. It was given to reveal our sin and to drive us to Christ. You listen to what Paul said in Romans 3:19. We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, not the removal of sin. The law of God simply reveals the exceeding sinfulness of sin. The law was given to reveal our sin and to drive us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who honored the law, who satisfied the law of God on behalf of God's people. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, we read, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Christ satisfied God's law, the penalty of it, by His bloody death. The third reason that salvation by works and this false gospel is so popular in our day is because all men are ignorant of their own sinful character. Not only are they ignorant of what the law of God requires in His holiness, but men are ignorant of their own sinful character. We must come back to this basic principle and this fundamental question, what happened when Adam sinned? For by one man, sin entered into this world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, in whom all sin. In Adam, what happened? Death, judgment, sin passed upon all men. The Scripture hath concluded all are under sin. The Scripture had said and had proved there is none righteous, no, not one. That's why work salvation and a false gospel are so popular in our day. Men are ignorant of the character of God, ignorant of their own sin, and ignorant of what happened in the garden. Now in our Scripture today, we see two great crimes that self-righteousness and self-salvation promote and commit against God. The first thing is this. Paul talks about in verse 21, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Frustrating the grace of God. Paul says, I do not make void or reject or regard the grace of God as something useless, but as absolutely vital and necessary to my salvation. For it is by grace that we are saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. If salvation, redemption, and righteousness comes by the law, then mercy, grace, and peace are no longer necessary. Paul said over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, he said, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you've departed from the grace of God, and count the grace of God no longer as an absolute necessity. Now, how is this revealed in most preaching today? Let me give you this reason. They make, and the false preachers in our day, and the false gospel, makes the grace of God a secondary thing rather than the primary cause of salvation. This was a deadly error of those Galatians attempting to mix grace and works together. Paul called it another gospel over in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul says, which is not another. There's just one gospel of grace. But there be some that would trouble you who would pervert the gospel of Christ. Anytime you introduce any kind of human merit into the scheme of salvation, you have made that grace of God void and vain. In this scheme of salvation of works, every man is his own Savior. And the grace of God just fills in and makes up for the slight deficiencies that we might have. Rather than being the primary cause, they've made grace the secondary cause. My friend, this is an intense form of treason against the majesty of Christ's glorious work. The sinner never makes the blood atonement effectual by anything he does. Christ alone is the Savior. He by Himself, with Himself, put away our sin. Grace alone and the blood alone secured everlasting salvation for God's elect. And it is only This is the only primary cause of our salvation, is grace alone, Christ alone, and the blood alone. Paul said, God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. We make void and we frustrate the grace of God when we preach the grace of God as a secondary cause and not as a primary moving in the fountain of all blessings of salvation. You must either have salvation totally because you deserve it or because the grace of God totally bestowed it upon us. You can't have both. We know the Scriptures teach in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Did you hear that? Salvation through mercy and grace alone. Here's the second great crime which self-righteousness commits in making the death of Christ non-essential. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now here's the second thing. Self-righteousness commits and says that the death of Christ is not absolutely essential. Christ on Calvary made a needless and useless offering of Himself if any man can be saved by his own efforts, works, deeds, or doing of the law. Isn't this absolutely plain enough for all to see? If salvation be of works, then why did God send His beloved Son to obtain redemption through His substitutionary sacrifice if it could have been done some other way? Can there be anyone who think that His death was a vain thing? Yet thousands do who insist upon being saved by some other way but than Christ alone. If righteousness is by the law or by your deed or by some other way, then Christ died in vain. But we know the Scriptures declare that there is salvation in no other than Christ alone. To seek salvation by something other than Christ alone, is to commit a grievous sin against the whole triune God. It's a sin against the Father. God the Father. How could God be wise and good and just and give His Son to such a horrible death if salvation could be accomplished some other way? It's a sin against God the Son. It's a spit in the face of Jesus Christ if you think you can put away sin by your own puny efforts rather than His blood alone. It is the blood that maketh atonement for our sin. And it's a sin against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the glorious perfection and power of His redeeming blood. Woe be unto those who reject His witness. These two great crimes are committed by many people today, maybe by some who are listening today, frustrating the grace of God by seeking salvation by your works, and frustrating and making void and vain the death of the Lord Jesus Christ by insisting upon salvation through your merit. These crimes are committed by all who are indifferent to the gospel. Is the life and death of Jesus Christ nothing to you? It ought to be. It ought to be everything to you. His blood purchased eternal redemption. You're not interested in being redeemed? His effectual grace quickens and calls and regenerates dead sinners. And you're not interested in being redeemed and saved? You ought to be. His mercy delivers the guilty from the wrath of God. And you're not interested in being delivered from the wrath of God? You ought to be. My friend, in closing, no true believer will be guilty of these crimes. Believers in Christ have not a ray of hope outside of and apart from Christ and His amazing grace. We have a good hope through grace and grace alone. The more we grow in grace, the more we grow in love with His sovereign grace, and the more we love to hear men exalt and preach and talk about salvation through the blood and merit and grace of God. Second thing, believers in Christ look totally, always, and only to Christ's precious sacrifice and His cleansing blood for all our redemption, all our justification, and complete salvation. We say with those in the book of Revelation who sang and praised God unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood be all the honor and glory. Believers aren't guilty of these two crimes. They love the grace of God, and they say the blood, the substitutionary death, satisfied the wrath of God and is all pleasing unto God. And that's our hope, that Christ took our sin to Himself and effectually and eternally put them away.